Hey gang, it's me, Dr. Steve, and I got two words for you, Bitcoin and BlackRock. Now, if you were listening to BlackRock CEO Larry Fink a few years back, you would have concluded that these two entities couldn't have possibly been farther apart. They had nothing to do with each other. BlackRock at the time was basically mocking crypto, but yet, as of today, it does appear that crypto has the last laugh. BlackRock is now in the Bitcoin business, as it were. They've been buying up Bitcoin since January. Their Bitcoin ETFs have been on fire, adding hundreds of millions of dollars worth of Bitcoin every single day. According to CoinDesk, the massive demand for the new spot ETFs is the key reason for Bitcoin's 60% surge this year alone. It's absolutely astonishing. But this does raise the question, doesn't it? How do everyday normal folks get in on the action? I mean, this is especially relevant for those of us who want to be on the front lines of building a thriving parallel economy, since in many respects, crypto really is the foundation, the financial foundation of that parallel economy. The problem is, when it comes to crypto, most of us don't even know where to start. So that is why I brought in our friend and sponsor, Dan Ryder, a cryptocurrency investment expert, to help courageous patriots like you and me figure out how we could build generational wealth with the same secrets that companies like BlackRock are privy to. Dan Ryder is the founder of Prime DeFi, an investment education program for courageous patriots like you who want to build wealth and experience financial freedom faster. Dan, welcome. Great to have you here, my friend.
Dr. Steve, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here as well.
Well, I'm so excited to talk with you today because I was sharing with you before the interview here, one of the most common questions I get asked, especially whenever the whole topic of building a parallel economy comes in, is how do I get involved in crypto? I mean, what even is it? You know, kind of, and mostly it's Bitcoin. They'll talk about Bitcoin. So I'm so excited to have you here to perhaps dispel some of the mystery and in so doing, change some lives in the process. So let me begin in a kind of like primer level here. Let's start off super basic. What is Bitcoin?
Yeah, it's such an interesting question, and there's so many ways to answer it. But I think at a fundamental level, Bitcoin is trust. It created a precedent for a system that you can trust that doesn't rely on a counterparty, right, or an intermediary to do the right thing. Because we as humans, you know, we're not perfect, and we're capable of error. We're capable of misjudgment, mistakes, corruption, right? We can be corrupted as people. Whereas something that's more autonomous, robotic, cannot, right? If it's programmed to do a certain thing. And so Bitcoin, at its core, it's a combination of trust and value. It created a way that you can have a systemized way to store value that doesn't, again, rely on somebody to stay honest, right? So that's, you know, at a fundamental level, I think that's how I would characterize Bitcoin.
So it bypasses the normal intermediary structures like banks, governments, impute value to this currency, as it were.
Yeah, you know, instead of relying on one or two or a small set of stakeholders to keep a system honest, you've got thousands of validations of a record of value, right? And the way Bitcoin is designed, I mean, we could do a whole class on that, but it's impossible to cheat the system, because if one bad actor tried to come in and corrupt the record, it gets invalidated because you've got thousands and thousands of thousands of copies of truth, right? And so it's an uphill battle, right? And at this point, it's so decentralized, like it's really blockchain technology is what's driving this. Cryptography, these are some of like the buzzwords around the tech. It's at a point now where it's so, well established across the globe and decentralized that you cannot corrupt it, It cannot be corrupted anymore.
It's so interesting. It's so interesting because it seems to be going back to the way money was, you know, like, right, like when we exchanged gold or we exchanged some kind of real estate. We didn't need a bank in between us. We didn't need some sovereign state in between us. We could simply exchange mechanisms of value, but now we could do that across the world. We're not limited to proximity.
Yeah. And that's another great point that I don't think I touched on a moment ago, because Bitcoin is finite. Although it's a digital asset, it is unlike fiat money, which could just be printed, you know, at will, right, when it's not backed by something tangible like gold, yeah, which is unfortunate. That's where we've come, you know, at least in the US. Bitcoin is not designed that, right, way. And so there is finite supply. And so you cannot manipulate its value based on debasing it and just printing more of it. So you have the integrity of the value of the asset, and then the trust of the network of, you know, where are all these Bitcoins distributed, you know, who owns all these Bitcoins? The record of who owns what is fair and honest and incorruptible. Right. So you've got value and truth. Right.
Right.
And that's why I said what I said before. I think it's trust and it's value in one. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it is. It is beautiful. And I think it's a precursor to just Web 3.0, like you're talking about blockchain technology, which is it's just going to change the game. And it is going to ruin the business model of a lot of mediary institutions like Google and so forth. George Gilder's book on blockchain is actually entitled Life After Google. It's just going to completely interrupt it. So fascinating. So what affected BlackRock's recent ETF and involvement in Bitcoin and the accumulation of Bitcoin? What effect did that have on just the overall cryptocurrency ecosystem?
Yeah, I love this question. And BlackRock's involvement in the cryptocurrency market now is probably a pivotal point in the birth of this industry, since the birth of the crypto market or industry. We have an asset, Bitcoin, right, which is the dominant cryptocurrency. You've got a finite supply of something, and you've got now a major stakeholder, BlackRock, the largest asset manager in the world. Love them or hate them.
Right.
That is the truth. They are the largest asset manager in the world. They've got $10 trillion. Approximately wow. under management. Wow. And we have an asset, Bitcoin, that is limited in supply. And that supply is largely out in circulation. There's going to be less and less of it issued over time until there is no more mined by the Bitcoin miners. That's a whole other topic. But them coming into the arena is leading to a massive supply shock. You know, we've seen with this ETF product, which pretty much gives Wall Street easy access to purchase crypto. We're seeing BlackRock alone purchasing hundreds of millions of dollars worth of Bitcoin in a 24-hour period, mm-hmm. right? Day after day, they're just gobbling up this Bitcoin. I think at this point, they own like 2-3% of the market
wow.
share. And what that's doing, when you have supply and demand, right, that are mismatched, you have prices going up, right? So this is actually really exciting for the crypto markets, because this is going to send Bitcoin to the next altitude, right. You know, and everyone in the market will benefit from that. Is my belief, and not only with Bitcoin, but Bitcoin is kind of one of these things where it's a rising tide lifts all ships. There's a lot of other digital assets, a lot of other cryptocurrencies that are traded against Bitcoin, and so as the value of Bitcoin rises, so does the entire market. So this could be the last cycle where we see this kind of exponential parabolic rise in the cryptocurrency market.
Wow. So these other cryptos would be like something like Ethereum, for example.
Exactly. Yeah. You've got Ethereum. That's probably number two on the list. Things like Solana. And then there's a whole slew of altcoins. I mean, there's a lot of altcoins that probably people would never want to touch. You know, if you're a more conservative investor, like perhaps you and I, you know, you want to invest in sound infrastructure. There's a large degree of cryptocurrencies that are very speculative, very high risk, but there's also sound technologies like Ethereum, yeah. Solana, Chainlink. I mean, we could name a few of them that are, as you alluded to earlier, it's part of the new internet, right. Web3, right? Life after Google.
Right.
These things are it's about to get really heated and exciting in a good way as far as investing in these assets.
That's what I was going to ask. Are there other investors that are, you know, at the proximate level of BlackRock that are ready to join in all the hype there? And if there is, I'm assuming that's going to drive Bitcoin's price even higher.
Yeah. You know, this is a worldwide wealth transfer, yeah, essentially, that's happening. Because you have other major funds like Fidelity, right? The largest retirement plan administrator in the United States, all in on the crypto industry and Bitcoin specifically, right? You have Van Eck. I mean, there's so many other funds. BlackRock's just the biggest one. But there's probably $20 to $30 trillion worth, wow, of capital out there under management by these asset managers, wow, that want to get into crypto. They are getting into crypto. They've got greenlit by the SEC with Bitcoin. You know, Ethereum as an ETF product is next. We're probably weeks or a couple of months or potentially weeks away, who knows, from that happening. And, you know, it's just one domino after the other, yep, is falling. Yep. In a good way.
Yeah, it is. It's fascinating to have this front row seat of this new technology developing right before our very eyes, this financial technology, fintech. How is the mainstream media, in your opinion, portraying investing in crypto? Are they encouraging it? Are they on board with it? Do they what do you say?
Yeah, it's funny. However their overlords want them to, right? It's
like that's right. Well put.
Yeah. You know, the mainstream media, oh my gosh, you can get me started on this one.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to crypto. I mean, talk about if there's a group that has done the most damage to the individual as far as manipulating them away from opportunity, I would say it would be the mainstream media. You know, they've given it bad press when it was perfect times to get entries into the market, mm-hmm, and they've kind of steered people away when they shouldn't have, right? And however, you know, I think a lot of these games are kind of coming to a conclusion, because my theory has been that the media has been helping bigger players like BlackRock, right, keep the game in control, right? Because I think what's happening with the mainstream media and with other big players like BlackRock, you know, the asset managers that own the world, you know, whether we like it or not, it takes them time to custody in crypto is a big deal, right? And a lot of people don't know this. In 2022, right, when markets were crashing, whether it was the regular stock market or the crypto markets, it was just a bloodbath that year, mm-hmm, right? We had the war breaking out in Europe. And, you know, crypto did not look good. And that's certainly what you heard all over the news. However, what most people don't know, there were press releases, you had to dig for them, but BlackRock invested $400 million into Circle, the issuer of USDC, right? A stable coin collateralized by US dollars. Hmm. They did that, I believe, in April 2022. And then in August, I might have these months mixed up here, but there was one major action by BlackRock in April, right? Then in August, you had BlackRock aligning and choosing Coinbase as their custody partner to integrate like their platform, which is called the Aladdin system. That's how they manage all the money under their management, right? They chose Coinbase to integrate with, you know, from a tech stack point of view, to help them custody crypto, right? Because they don't have the infrastructure to do it themselves. Right. And so they're making these decisions in 2022 when all hell's breaking loose, right? Mm-hmm. When all you hear on the news is this is a scam, you know, people are mocking Bitcoin. You have notable figures, you know,
Warren Buffett. We can say, well, really rough on Bitcoin. Right. Peter Schiff. Right? I'll say it. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. You did it for me.
you're kinder than I am.
I try to stay pragmatic, but sometimes but in fairness,
I love Peter Schiff when it comes to gold. He you know, for something a lot more conservative and as a hedge to the volatility of Bitcoin and crypto, it's great. But yeah, I don't know what this either or mentality has. Sorry, I interrupted. Please go on.
No. And you know what's funny about him? You know, he recently converted. You know, he's a believer.
He sees a little bit. So that's true, isn't it? Yeah. That's neat.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we got him on the crypto train.
Wow.
But I guess the point I was making was that, you know, during these times, and then of course we had things like the FTX exchange, that's a whole other story of shenanigans.
Yep.
But those were arguably the best times to be getting in the industry. And you know who was doing it? BlackRock. They were preparing.
Exactly.
They were preparing to get into the industry. And the mainstream media gave everyone a very biased, fear-mongering, as is their usual way, approach to what this asset class is, you know, cryptocurrency. And really not leading people to look at it objectively, you know, as where the puck is going with tech. And so... Yeah. The mainstream media would not be a wise place for people to go to. Although I think a lot of those manipulation games will calm down now because, you know, once all the big players enter the arena, everyone's got to get behind it now, right? Well, I think we're going to see the narrative change. Elizabeth Warren talking about crypto funding terror, and it's we'll see that stuff fade away because it's going to be a political issue.
Right. And their donors will be knee deep in it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you want us to write a check for you, you got to understand where this money is coming from. Exactly. Yeah. Let's pivot to everybody out there now, because what I told you, one of the most common questions that I get is, you know, okay, look, I'm, you know, 50 years old, 60 years old. I want to get in this crypto thing. I hear about it all the time, especially in relation to a parallel economy. You know, it bypasses government. You know, you can't debank it. It bypasses all the cancel culture that we get so concerned about. We saw that like with the Freedom Convoy in Ottawa, for example, the way they froze bank accounts and all. So this is the solution. They're excited about it, but they don't know the first thing about it. So why should courageous patriots out there looking for financial freedom, and I mean real freedom, freedom from the kind of cancel culture, debanking and so forth, demonetization, and so, why should they make the effort to get into the cryptocurrency market, and particularly now?
Yeah, this is a pivotal time right now. And you know, you alluded to some of what I'm about to say just in the nature of this question. And again, going back to BlackRock, I hate to make a whole episode about BlackRock, but you know, think about why are they doing what they're doing, right? The world is fundamentally changing. The dollar is getting debased every single year, right? We're just printing it out of thin air. Value is being lost. And those who own the world, you know, unfortunately, we've got a lot of nefarious organizations and players in this world that we live in. And they see this. They're smart, right? They're smart. And Bitcoin and cryptocurrency and blockchain, this is something that can't be stopped, right? That's the beauty of it. And there's a lot of, that is very, very much evident, right, at this point. And so it's all about control.
Right.
It's all about control. And they've been positioning to come in and just be the dominant player in the space. And so the thing is, they move slowly because they're so big. They move slowly. It's taken them 2 years just to be 2+ years just to be able to start buying Bitcoin.
Right.
And so I think now is such a crucial time for the individual to get positioned to start investing in these assets that are going to be the future of how value is measured. Right. The world is getting more and more digital, and we want hard assets. Right. You see Larry Fink talking about this on all his PR tours he's doing to advocate for why they're getting into the market, starting with Bitcoin. It's just the first of many things that they'll try to dominate the market on. But they want to own these hard assets. And now, as an individual, you have the advantage of how fast you can move.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take BlackRock a couple of months, to say the least, to meet their quotas, right? There's that supply shock factor that I talked about, where they cannot buy as much as they want in one go, because they will literally move the market themselves. Mm-hmm. They'll kind of rip themselves off, if that makes sense, in a trade. For those of the people watching who've done any trading, they might read between the lines on what I just said. But even if you don't have any trading background, the big idea here is you can get into the market now. You can get into assets now that we're all going to want to own, right? To maintain our wealth and build wealth and protect our families. We're going to want to be in these things. And so you've got two choices. You can come in now, mm-hmm. right? Before the big boys come in and take over the market, and you miss this kind of parabolic rise where you get to benefit, right? If you ever wanted to front run somebody, now's your chance, right?
Right.
Because you can move so much faster than these guys. So the people who are paying attention now and who choose to get involved and invest in the market now, I think will be rewarded for generations compared to those who come in a year from now, 2 years from now. There's no opportunity like right now. Right. And this won't happen again.
Right.
There's not going to be another round of, you know, giant institutions coming in. Because once they're in,
right.
you know, and then things are going to be kind of normal. Right. So right.
Yeah, and I think there's a huge sense of stability, its equilibrium. Yeah.
So
what advice then would you give, just very practical advice, would you give our audience looking to navigate this evolving landscape of crypto investments as beginners, particularly?
Yeah, I think twofold. One, I kind of just mentioned it, get in the market. Understand what these assets are. And, you know, we've built a community where we help people do that, because it could seem like this is not a sector for you, especially if you're more mature, you've got some life experience, you've been on this planet, you know, longer than the 20-year-olds out there. What I would challenge people who are older to realize is that cryptocurrency as an asset class, it is not just for the 20-something year olds.
That's right.
That are technologically savvy. No, this is for anyone,
right.
And anyone can understand it. And that's why we've got a community of over 1,000 people now.
Awesome.
In our world of more experienced people. And actually, I think the market needs that. So number one, I would say, don't be intimidated and get in the market, because it's not as complex as you think. Right. It truly isn't.
Right.
Number two is learn how to take self-custody, right? When you go buy cryptocurrency, if you go create an account on Coinbase or Robinhood, there's some major exchanges, or Kraken, Kraken.com. These are all exchanges that you can go buy cryptocurrency on. As a U.S. resident. There are others globally, but if you're a USA-based resident, your menu is a little limited as far as what exchanges you can work with. However, that being said, you know, once you buy your crypto, you want to take it under your possession. You want to be your own custodian, because part of the ethos of this stuff is personal sovereignty, right? Personal control over your assets. And crypto allows you the opportunity to do that and to custody your crypto, whether it's Ethereum or Bitcoin or whatever it is. You can take charge of it yourself, and that way you're not at the mercy of an exchange being, you know, out of service, or God forbid something like FTX ever happened
again.
The people who lost their funds, that could have been easily avoided, right? So is to learn how to do self-custody would be my second charge, and that's also not as complex as people think, and we teach people how to do that in our community.
And I was just thinking, to talk about somebody who was propped up by the mainstream media, Sam Bankman-Fried. I mean, if anything, he was created by them, you know. It's just interesting, that kind of strange, to talk about solidifying your whole concern. Dan, you have a program, and that you just alluded to it there, a community, a program, where you really have kind of done this for people. So you could grab my hand and walk me through precisely what you just said. It's called Prime DeFi Program. Give us just a nice little overview of what it looks like when Charlie Talkers join your Prime DeFi program.
Sure. Yeah. You know, it's so interesting. When I started this, I didn't know where it was going to go. I was just an individual investor myself. My business was doing well. I wanted to invest in crypto markets. I found DeFi, right? DeFi is short for decentralized finance. It's this kind of subsector of crypto that almost nobody knows about, with some cool opportunities behind it. But so I get into this world, and I'm living in a community where there's other I'd say savvy people around me that are also crypto investors, and they're not really too familiar with DeFi. I start showing them the opportunity, and they're intrigued by it. And then I realize, wow, you know, most people who are in the crypto market don't even know about this, right? So I realized, you know, we could teach this, right? So I start showing it to some people. Lo and behold, you know, 2 years later, we've got a community and a brand. And what's interesting is, I thought who would be attracted to this would be kind of like the young and hip crowd, right? But the average age of someone in our community is, I think, about 50 years
really?
Old.
Really? Cool.
Right? And yeah. And I think part of why that is our approach to crypto investing mm-hmm. is very conservative. Mm-hmm. It's less, you know, there's a lot of degeneracy out there in crypto land. People hear these crazy stories of, you know, people essentially gambling on meme coins, if you ever heard that,
right.
that term.
Right.
Right. And that's like the last thing I wanted to do right. with my hard-earned money and from my business, right? So people just we started attracting people who aligned with that investment thesis, right? And so we were attracting a more experienced, more mature, level-headed, values-driven person to come in here. And we developed a framework where we can help anyone and to our community, right out of the gate, we're teaching you the 101 of what crypto is, how to buy it, right? How to custody it, like I said. And then from there, we kind of open the door and we show you how, you know, there's this business model that I'll just kind of hint at now. If you think about Coinbase and Robinhood, these are big exchanges where people go to trade, right? To operate as an exchange, you need $1 billion at least, and a bank charter and all this stuff. That's not a business model that's accessible to you and I, right? Unless you're a billionaire and you have a bank charter. That's the shtick I always go back to. But what's cool about DeFi is that there are these open markets that are self-custody based, where right. you can actually utilize your crypto almost like a real estate investor would use property. If you're going to invest mm-hmm. in this stuff, you can utilize it and earn yield on it. Right. And we teach people how to do that in DeFi. And it's a much more conservative approach to crypto investing. So we show you that next. So first, we want to teach you how to get into the market safely, wisely, right? How to custody your stuff, and then how to make it productive, right? So you can put it to work, generate cash flow off these assets. So that's kind of the journey that we put people through. We've got a whole community of people, all kind of focused on this together. It's really, really cool.
It is. It's so exciting. Dan, I was so excited to chat with you, as we're leading up to this interview, because I knew this would be benefiting so many people in our audience. Gang, if you want to gain the knowledge and tools you need to thrive in the crypto market, don't try to do it yourself. Find a mentor, right? It's always who, not how. Don't try to figure it out yourself and make all your mistakes. Go and hang out with someone who already made all the mistakes for you. And then it's going to give you all of his wisdom. That's exactly what Dan is for us. Gang, click on the link below. Let Dan's team at Prime DeFi, just think of that term, decentralized finance, right? Forget all of this debanking, DeFi, Prime DeFi. Let them give you the education you need to be investing in crypto like the pros, like BlackRock. Let's get a courageous patriots like you just flourishing in the world of finances so we can grow the parallel economy and leave a lasting legacy that we can all be proud of. Click on that link below right now and get in touch with Dan and his community today. You will not regret it. Dan Ryder, thank you, sir. Fascinating stuff. Please come back again soon.
Yes, sir. Will do. This was a pleasure. Had a lot of fun.
Thank you, Dan.